Well, it's been a rough couple weeks. The election was really rough for both sides, I think. So that's done now, and you all know the results, and so we have to go on from there. Be assured of this, though. God is never caught by surprise. He was grieved by the fiery darts that came out of the campaigners. Both sides were attacking each other. They attacked characters. They attacked beliefs. They attacked backgrounds and positions of their opponents. And God is still grieved that so many in our beloved country have spurned his ways and his wisdom. Nevertheless, our God is a God of hope. He is not only Tikva Israel, the hope of Israel, but El Elyon, God Most High, the one who reigns supreme, who holds his children in the palm of his hand. As such, the Lord has given a word of comfort for us. You'll find it in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. If you turn there. If not, you'll hear me. You won't find it there. You'll hear me. And it says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace be with you. So, let's look at those things. What is true? In Hebrew, the word for truth is emet. Yeah? It's God's very nature. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. And Romans 3:4, let God be true, but every man a liar. God is true in the midst of the world of falsehood. His many wonderful qualities encourage us as we focus on them. For example, God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. That means following his Torah. Our God keeps his promises as well as his covenants. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says that, and he never abandons us. We have the assurance of his presence through Yeshua, who said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you think Yeshua has gone away? He hasn't. You have, maybe. Yeah, God is good. This is true. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. He is good. Trust in him. Know that all is well. Say, God is good. God is good. Just leave it in his hands. Leave it in his hands, the present. Leave it in the hands, the future. Knowing that only that he is good. He can bring order out of chaos. He can bring good out of evil. He can bring peace out of turmoil. God is good. I and my Father are one, says Yeshua. One in desire to do good. For God to do good to his children is for him to share his goodness with them. God is good. He's anxious to share his goodness and good things with you, and he will do this. Trust and be not afraid. Another truth to dwell on is that God is a merciful, loving Father. The first quality that he ever revealed about himself was his mercy. Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth. We need to thank God for his mercy, which we desperately need in our personal lives, in our country, and in our world. How true are the words from Lamentations 3? 22 through 24, about the mercies of the Lord. They are plural and abundant. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. We praise the Lord. For the truth that is strength is made perfect in weakness. God is not limited by our weaknesses. They just give him an opportunity to show how strong he is. Lean on your beloved this month. Trust in him with your whole heart. Agree with the Apostle Paul, who said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Remember also what John said in 1 John 4:4, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever things are noble, what does noble mean? Unfortunately, nobility is not a trait that is highly valued these days. Remember when it was greatly esteemed to perform a noble deed? That was a deed that demonstrated high moral qualities or ideals or greatness of character. Wow, how many of our leaders have that? Something grand, stately, splendid, magnificent, and honorable. We, the children of God, are called to think on things that are noble. The parable of the sower in the Gospel of Luke tells us that there are people who have a noble heart, as demonstrated by their reaction to hearing the words of God, the seed of the gospel. And this is in Luke 8:15. "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Let us thank God for those noble hearts and encourage them to bear even more fruit for the kingdom of God. A noble and necessary activity of the new covenant royal priesthood, we as believers, is mentioned in 1 Timothy 2:1-4. "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that he may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God is a just God also. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteousness and upright is he, according to Deuteronomy 32. We see a just God agreeing to spare Sodom because of just 10 righteous men. This happened as a result of God's friend, Abraham, interceding on behalf of the evil city and saying to the Lord in 18:25 of Genesis, "Far be it for you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it for you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" Meditate on Abraham's intercession. Compare Sodom to our country today. Yeah, the same God who listened to Abraham, guess what? He will listen to you because you are his friend. Also, Psalm 82 gives us a glimpse of God's heart concerning what is just. "Defend the poor," verses 3 and 4, "and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked." This time of the year, this Thanksgiving season, is a good time to share our abundance with the poor people. There are more people pinching pennies today in our country than ever before. Just go down to the mission, those of you who don't go, see it. There's a lot of people there. Go to New York and Staten Island and Long Island and New Jersey right now. There's some people that have lost everything. They have to start all over. Oh, man. Why don't you do some random act of kindness, like go to a restaurant and pay for someone else's meal, and then just tell them to pass it on to someone else. Play it forward. You ever see that movie? There was a movie called Pay It Forward. Reminds me of Micah 6:8. "He who has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You don't know who needs help. Focus on what is just and what is right instead of what is unjust and wrong. Let's be positive. Be assured that God will make all things right in the end, because he will. He's going to straighten it all out. It is just and right to rescue those who are perishing, the unborn, both babies in the womb and those who have been lost because they are not born again. They're being aborted too, right into hell, aren't they? Let others know that they can be justified in the sight of a holy God by receiving the atonement made for them by the Messiah. His name is Yeshua. Forgiveness of sin through trusting in the shed blood of Messiah makes us just as if we never sinned. Wow. That is the good news. That is the Besorah you've been waiting to hear. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Wow. The first time you see the word pure in the Bible is tahor in Hebrew. It refers to the pure gold that God commanded the Israelites to use in constructing the Ark of the Covenant. It's in Exodus. The same word is used to refer to the words of the Lord in Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. It is God's will for us to meditate on the words of Scripture. The entrance of those words gives us light and understanding, according to Psalm 119. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, Psalm 19:8. And Psalm 119:140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. And Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. God wants us to read his word, his pure word, as never before. He will speak to us. He will guide us. He will enlighten us. He will comfort us. And as we meditate on his pure word, that all will happen. There is very little pure in this world that you can find. Pray about turning it out or off or getting rid of it and read the word more often. The Berit Chadashah gives us God's definition of pure religion. And this is in James 1:27. Pure and undefiled. Defiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's what you're supposed to do. Some of you think, well, I'll just go to Bible studies and learn, suck every ounce of knowledge out of the teacher. That's what I'm doing, and I'm doing it as a godly person. No, God wants you to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Take care of people. Yeah, we are so thankful that you, our mishpocha, participate with us in those holy works. Those who go to Open Door Mission every month, I bless you. Such a blessing you are to them as you minister to those people. We should do more of that. There's something else the Bible calls pure that we should meditate on. The wisdom that is from above. This wisdom, according to James 3:17, is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Ask God for his pure heavenly wisdom. That's all I ask him for every day now. I just say, God, give me the wisdom that I need for today. We need it more now than ever before. I don't know what to do. I'm not that smart. God is. He knows everything. God, give me your wisdom. I'm like Solomon. There is another kind of wisdom that we don't want. It's called earthly. It's called sensual. And it's called demonic. That's the wisdom you should reject. God has so many lovely things to look at in this world, to meditate on. His beautiful creation. You ever look at plants and animals and seas and rivers and music and his word? Wherever God is, his dwelling place, it is lovely. The psalmist expressed it this way in Psalm 84:1-2. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints to the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The Hebrew word for lovely is that is used here is yedid, yedid, Y-E-D-I-D. which also means amiable, loved, or well-beloved. God's dwelling place is made lovely by the one who is altogether lovely, and his name is the Messiah. It comes from Song of Songs 5:16. And this is a phrase that has been considered an allusion to Haggai 2, 6 and 7. For thus says the Lord of the hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to desire of all nations. The desire of all nations is the Messiah. And I will fill this temple with glory, said the Lord of hosts. He is desired by all nations because of his loveliness. Okay. Hebrews 11:13 reminds us that we are strangers and we are pilgrims here on this earth. Our lives are hid with the Messiah and God. We are secure in him, abiding under the shadow of our Almighty. We are like the way Rabbi Pliskin says in his book, you are a tourist in this world. A tourist has a greater appreciation for what others might take for granted. A tourist realizes that he must see and do as much as possible in the short amount of time that he will be in a specific place. Tourists can get along with much less than someone who views himself as a permanent resident. A tourist doesn't take too seriously anything that's going on in a place that he's visiting. He realizes that he will not be there for a very long time. So he can overlook things that might irritate or distress others. A tourist knows that he will be soon going home. Bear this in mind and make the most of your visit to this planet we call Earth. Yeah? Think you can do that? God is worthy of all praises, isn't he? We should praise him because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And because his right hand holds us wherever we are. He is worthy of our praise because while we were still sinners, he had his son die for us. By his grace, God has made us acceptable in the beloved. Amen. There are countless reasons why God is praiseworthy, not the least of which is the fact that through his death, Yeshua destroyed him who had the power of death. That is, Hasatan, the devil. And now he lives forevermore to make intercession for us, seated at the right hand of our Father. Wow. This is indeed praiseworthy. You should praise the. Our God is worthy of praise because he is our provider. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Finally, God is praiseworthy because he is love. And love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8. So as we meditate on those things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, of good report, and praiseworthy, our minds are transformed and we are not consumed with worry. In anxious thoughts, while you're doing these things, you're not going to be worrying about nothing. Peace enters. You want shalom? That's how you get it. Meditate on those things. It guards our hearts. It guards our minds. This peace is not dependent on circumstances, on who won the election, or what laws God enacted last week. Our real citizenship is not here. It's in another kingdom. And our king is destined to rule and reign forever. Amen? He is the Shar Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So give thanks now. Amen. That the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Yeshua the Messiah is our peace. He gave us the gift of peace when he ascended to the Father. He said in John 14, peace I leave you with. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Now the God of peace be with you all.
Hallelujah.
Amen.